coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report. It's Friday. Oh, goodness, it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday, right? Yeah, if you could have seen this 30 seconds ago. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Hagman, where truth can't be silenced. Thank you so very much for your support. We operate off of your support, and that's it. And thank you for supporting this platform. Thank you for allowing us to come into your rooms, your bedrooms, your kitchens. I guess, boy, that was a bad thing to start off with. Your homes, your cars, your workplaces. Appreciate that very, very much. Places, well, the websites of note, HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com, as well as HagmanReport.com. Have a very, very, very special show. You're not going to want to miss today. Now, this is going to be on par with like a vintage Glenn Beck style show. All right. I was looking at the headlines and I was talking with some people and, you know, some subscribers, Patreon members and such. And, they said, you know, look, trace this back a little bit. Can you trace this back? Who do we blame, or who's controlling all of this? Who are the puppet masters of what we're seeing today? Now you may say, well, wait a second. We went over this. We know it doesn't matter. It's happening. You know, well, it does matter because this is so much deeper than you can imagine. All right. Now, funding for the research comes obviously from your support, but also comes from HagmanStore.com. Purchase of our coffee. It's gourmet coffee. However, much of the proceeds go to organizations that fight human and child sex trafficking, including but not limited to Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer's group, as well as Russ Dizdar's group, Shatter the Darkness. So go to HagmanStore.com. That's HagmanStore.com to get your, to get your gourmet coffee. By the way, we've got the whole bean, we've got the ground, and we've got K-cups. And we've got the hyper-caffeinated Detective's Choice, very dark, dark roast, but no bitter aftertaste. That's my favorite. That's my go-to. And then we have Patriot and Revolution Blends coffee. And you can actually subscribe if you would like. For example, you can have it delivered on a monthly basis. There's the option there. Or you can just a one-time purchase. It's fine either way. But if it's, but there it is on your screen right there. That's HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. Wisconsin Christian News as well. Folks, please support Wisconsin Christian News. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Click on the, subscribe button and get your hard copy, digital copy, and also support them. All right. Couple of things. Hundreds of people have been arrested for looting, for their role in the riots across the United States. So there are some things that are taking place there. But I suppose the biggest news right now, If you go to Drudge and people have to understand, Drudge is not a friend of the conservatives. I hope you know that. Drudge is not a friend of the conservative movement. Having sold that platform, it's my understanding that it was sold. I don't know the details about it, but it was sold some time ago. Again, that's my understanding, but it certainly is not a friend of the conservatives. They note, as of this morning, virus cases in the United States, coronavirus hit all-time high, new peak in Florida, real lockdowns in Texas. President Trump ignores oh boy, there is a thread woven, interwoven in the presentation I have for you today. Really interesting how this all fits together in a grand scheme of things. Biden, by the way, he came out and said, you know what? I'd use federal power to require every person to wear a mask. I had to take care of some business in an office outside of mine yesterday. I didn't say anything about this last night because it was just, it wasn't the time. And, it was unbelievable. It was this mask business is out of control. And I'll tell you something. I laugh in the face of people who believe that this is going to protect them. A mask is going to protect them. First of all, the micron size of the virus is much smaller than the size of the, generally speaking, any cotton mask, but the majority of masks out there. All right. If that's what you're concerned about. But I mean, this business went through a whole production. I had to have some documents notarized. All right. And, my parting words were, I'll never, ever, ever use your services again. And not only that, won't I use your services again. I'm going to tell everyone I know not to use your services. Talk about sheeple. Seriously. Again, Biden says he'd use federal power to require everyone to wear masks. A number of sheriff's departments saying, look, and police agencies, we're not going to enforce these edicts. So look for trouble. Look for trouble to start. All right. I'm going to play, first of all, have Eric play a 2-minute video clip from Tucker Carlson yesterday. And if you haven't heard this, here's my message to you. This could be you. This could be, and if you're a guy, this could be your wife. This could be your mother. This could be your aunt, your sister. It's coming. And as the program unfolds, I will show you who's doing it, why, what their ultimate objective is. It's deeper than you can even imagine. This is, Tucker played this yesterday. This is a woman who is driving with her child in a car and, comes upon a group of protesters. Protesters. Now, that's not my word. That's their word. And they're jumping on her car. I'm setting the stage here, jumping on her car, prohibiting her forward movement, scaring the crap out of her. What would you do? Call 911, right? Yeah, seems logical. Now, I may not do that. I'm just telling you up front, I probably wouldn't do that. There are things called speed bumps, voluntary speed bumps. Just saying. All right, let's play this video from last night.
We want to play for you two pieces of tape that help illustrate what life is like for many Americans right now. Neither one of these shows graphic violence. We could easily find tape that does show it. There's an awful lot of it out there. But what we're going to play instead for you is, in some ways, maybe more insidious than assault. What you'll hear is neglect, and neglect is itself a form of violence. The first tape is from a small town, Fredericksburg, Virginia. It's a 911 call recorded earlier this month. A woman called Tara Durant took her young daughter on errands downtown. As the two tried to drive home, a mob surrounded their vehicle and blocked it from moving. Several people jumped on Durant's car and screamed obscenities at her child. Terrified, Tara Durant called 911. And here's the response she got.
They're on my car, right? They're on my car right now.
But we would suggest you slowly drive through the area. Don't hit anyone with your vehicle.
I cannot get out of here, okay?
Be patient. I'll let the officers know, okay?
Are you serious? You guys cannot...
We can't do anything, ma'am. The city told us that this is a sanctioned event.
Get out of my car! You know, this is going to get dangerous. I got a kid here.
Yes, ma'am. It was just that you call up City Hall to let them know about your frustrations.
Get out of the way! This is getting scary. They're on my car. And I got a little girl in the car crying. Are you kidding me?
They're on my car. Ma'am, comes the reply. We would suggest you call up City Hall to let them know about your frustrations. Those are verbatim quotes. It's hard to listen to that tape without feeling emotional. A woman and her child were terrorized by a violent mob. And then they were intentionally abandoned by the state that has promised to protect them. It was the ultimate betrayal of citizenship. You should know that the mayor of Fredericksburg, Virginia, a woman called Mary Catherine Greenlaw, later apologized. But Greenlaw did not apologize to Tara Durant or her young daughter. The mayor apologized to the mob. Police had tried to disperse them while they were rioting. Quote, "I am personally sorry," Mayor Greenlaw slobbered. "I want to apologize to those who went through this fearful experience." Again, to be crystal clear, Mayor Greenlaw said that to the rioters, not to the citizens she had cruelly abandoned. All of that happened in a little town of 25,000 people. It's happening in so many American towns right now.
Sorry about that. Yeah, there it is, right? I'm going to tell you right now, this is what the Democratic or leftist groups or cities have brought upon themselves. And you've got mayors like that apologizing to the rioters, the people who are causing fear in the hearts of their citizens. Americans are not going to be putting up with this much longer. And I would urge, I would urge people to, if you are licensed to carry a firearm, I would urge you to carry a firearm 24/7. And make sure you're proficient in its use. If you're unlicensed or if you don't need a license, you know, I mean, if your state doesn't require it, I'd certainly carry it 24/7. If for whatever reason you don't have a license, that would be a personal decision. I'm not going to counsel you either way. I'm not counseling you now. I'm just, I know I carry 24/7. I know that, my family members carry 24/7 and, it's just the way it is. It's the world today. Because if I ever found myself or was with my wife and that happened in that position, look, I'm too old to fight. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be throwing punches. It's going to end a different way. So why is this happening? Who's behind it? What in the world is going on? I want to give you a kind of a slideshow presentation, if you don't mind. And because some of this writing, I'm going to tell you what, if you're listening to this, I'm going to somewhat narrate this. And if you're watching this, I invite you to watch along with me again. This is my Blackboard presentation of the who and why behind the events in 2020. So what you can do, Eric, is you can take me out of the picture. As we go through these, because some of the slides are, they may have the smaller print. Some of the slides might not work well. And I'll leave it up to you. But really going to take a look at who and why. Let's go to the next frame here. Let me see if I've got this up on my computer, I believe. Huh. All right. I showed this picture yesterday. And this was from one of the riots, not a protest, but one of the riots. And I'd like you to take a look at exactly this. You've got a Black Lives Matter representation on the face mask. You've got an Islamic symbol or writing is a symbol on the shirt. And why I found this interesting is some of these very same women, the very same people who are protesting or rioting on behalf of Black Lives Matter are also on par with the pink hat movement, the feminist movement, the Muslim movement, the people against homophobia, the people against Islamophobia, you know, all of the phobias. You can tell in this one picture, really, there's members of Antifa. This was admitted later during this interview. There were members of Antifa in the crowd behind her. So what you see here is a blend of Antifa members, Islamic sympathists, you know, people who sympathize with the Islamic terror organizations, including but not limited to unindicted co-conspirator at the Council on American Islamic Relations. And then, of course, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter having been formed in 2013 by three individuals, one a confirmed and a proud lesbian, and well, you can research Black Lives Matter yourself. These groups, what you're seeing take place, and I said this before, but I just want to again just to verify this and present this coherently, or as coherently as I'm able to. You're seeing a very highly organized insurgency. There are multiple groups at play and at work here. And there are some common threads between these groups. And as I described, I think it was yesterday, if you have a rope, and, you know, if you look at the cross-section of a rope, you know, like a nautical rope, you can see the different threads, and the different threads form the strength, or they create the strength of the rope, the tensile strength of the rope. This is what we're seeing, this interwoven aspect of these different groups. Okay, so that should serve as Exhibit A in this. Let's go to the next one. Of course, you heard one of the intended consequences of what is taking place. You heard that caller moments ago that was featured on Tucker Carlson. And there's a portion of the transcript. And I froze that because look at what the dispatcher says. Yes, ma'am. We would suggest you call up City Hall to let them know about your frustrations. Now, there's another panel, which I did not copy, that laid the blame or that stated that this was a sanctioned event by the city leaders. Okay. What about the city leaders? What about the community leaders? Not the community organizers, but what about the people in leadership positions in cities, in counties, in states? And we know about the federal government, but what about on a lower level, on our level, like my township or my city? What's going on there? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. You have groups and NGOs and various front groups funding individuals to become elected to positions such as the mayor, as you saw in that video clip, mayors across the United States, district attorneys, and other positions of influence, power, and authority that we granted them, who have subjugated their positions of power to the larger New World Order agenda. Now, since I say New World Order, my goodness, holy cow, you said New World Order, you must be a really conspiracy, you must be a kook. But here's the issue. When you start taking apart the layers and looking into who these groups are and where these people are come from and who pays for their campaign expenses, boy, it all comes together. The next slide, please. One of the big street groups is Refuse Fascism. Now, this is perhaps one of the most active groups right now, Refuse Fascism. And where did they come from? By pulling on this one string, I'll be able to walk you back through into really the bottom line, you know, who's really pulling all the strings. But Refuse Fascism. And look at that sign, because these signs are all over Who's it against? It's against President Trump and Mike Pence. This nightmare must end. The Trump-Pence regime must go. All right. Now, there are people who will say, well, President Trump, he's compromised. President Trump, he's part of the problem. President Trump, he's this, he's that. But when you've got groups who are actively, groups that are our sworn enemies, who are actively attempting to take down our duly elected president, I've got to say, no, wait a second here. This is not a show. What we're seeing here is not a show for the entertainment of the masses, as some might stipulate, or some might assert. No. What we're seeing here is someone who was never a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, never a member of the Trilateral Commission, never a member of the Council of 300 or Committee of 300, never a member of any of these NGOs or these groups, Tavistock, none of that, a complete outsider. So it stands to reason that the insiders, those people I just mentioned, are going to declare war against President Trump. Again, remember what happened in Chantilly, Virginia, back Obama and Clinton, when Obama was named the heir apparent, as opposed to Hillary Clinton, for that, the 2008 election. Remember that? That was decided in the smoky back room of a mansion in Chantilly, Virginia. It's going to be him. You wait. It's him. And I would assert that contend that the reason for that, the population of America, including and especially the conservatives in name only, the Republicans in name only, the right in name only, would be more open, because here we have a very articulate, with a teleprompter only, black man, arguably Arab, but okay, black, who could sell the lie better than Hillary Clinton. There's a level of dislike about Hillary Clinton by members of the CFR, members of the Trilateral Commission, the Committee of 300, and some of the bigger groups. Some, they don't like her. But it's not really a question of, do I like her? Do I like him, meaning Obama, better than Hillary Clinton? It's a question of who can push through our agenda the most. That's what this is all about. All right. So that day in Chantilly, Virginia, that meeting with Obama and Hillary Clinton, it was decided Obama would be the point person. 8 years of Obama. Now there's a 16-year plan, of course, that was decided at some point by the same groups of people. Obama 8 years, Clinton 8 years. And by that time, this country, you wouldn't recognize it. Fine. Obama had his eight. Now, I would also stipulate there, as we talk about the Obama regime, I wouldn't call it an administration. I would call it a regime. Because why? Because he was not constitutionally eligible. I'll contend that. Assert, stipulate, whatever. He was not constitutionally eligible. Plus, not only that, he was an agent and acting as an agent for foreign governments. Remember what happened when he was a junior senator. He was tapped as a junior senator, and I remind people of this all the time. He was tapped to serve on the nuclear disarmament process between the United States and Russia. Remember that? As a junior senator, the Lugar Committee. Well, you might say, well, that's good. That guy's smart. Okay, you know. No, he's not smart. No. But that was one of his jobs. So they flew over to Russia, the Lugar, him and Lugar and staffers flew over to Russia. Perm, I believe it was, airport. They got stopped. Why? Because of Obama's papers. His diplomatic papers did not match his personal identification. Stopped by the Russians. Think about that. You would think that would have made news. Yeah, it made news for about 15 seconds, and there was, I think, a two-paragraph article in a publication somewhere, maybe. But you saw what 8 years of Obama resulted. You're seeing the results of 8 years of Obama right now. The other thing, I'll just leave it there. I mean, it's fundamentally transformed the United States. There it is, 8 years. When President Trump was elected, bypassing the approval of the CFR, and by the way, the CFR, big time, and especially the Club of Rome. Now, I'm tossing out names of groups, and you may be, Club of Rome, what's that? Something out of the Vatican, is that what that is? Or, the Committee of 300. Well, that sounds pretty conspiratorial. That sounds like you're whacked out. This is all going to have a golden thread to this. All right. So let's go to the next slide. What's this all about? There's an unnamed Fabian socialist who stated this. Socialism has nowhere to go but to communism, and communism is merely socialism in a hurry. We talk about Fabian socialism, the Fabian socialists. You talk about different, there it is. The need is, and I think everyone knows this, you need to bring socialism into the United States, make sure that we have socialism firmly rooted, and then gradually move to communism. Because you cannot have a single global governance power structure without communism. It's got to be a communist framework. That's what they're working on. Okay, let's move to the next one. Next slide. So who's pulling the strings? Who or what organizations are behind this agenda? And take a look at this. You may or may not be familiar with some of these names. The Committee of 300, also known as the Olympians. Now, a subset of this Committee of 300 is the Club of Rome. A subset is the Venetian Black Nobility. Now, hold on. I'm not talking about the color of anyone's skin. Black, meaning covert, unseen, occult. The Venetian Black Nobility is comprised of the oldest European families. And you know how people will throw out, well, it's a Rockefeller and Rothschilds. The Venetian Black Nobility, the grouping of the oldest European families, the covert and occult, they run. They're pulling the strings. In fact, their power surpasses that of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and others. In totality now. Perhaps not individually, but in totality. So the Venetian Black Nobility. So you've got the Committee of 300 and their subsets. The Club of Rome. Venetian Black Nobility. I would urge you to study every one of these. Start with the Committee of 300. Dr. John Coleman wrote a great book about it. Study the Committee of 300. Study the word Olympians, or study the Olympians, the group. Study the Club of Rome and the Venetian Black Nobility. And then you've got the German Marshall Fund. What's that? That sounds pretty innocuous. Well, a subset of that is the occult practices of the various groups, including, but a subset of the Committee of 300. And then the UK version is the Royal Institute for International Affairs. What's that, you might ask? I'll get to that in a little bit, but RIIA. All right, let's go to the next one. Now, go ahead and expand this, because this is important. For people listening on the radio, I'll explain what this is, and for those people watching, you could take a look. All right. On the graphic on the right, here you've got really the structure, the infrastructure of the New World Order or a one world governance. That's probably better. You know, this NWO, this, you know, it almost, again, it sounds too conspiratorial, although it's accurate. People might get turned off by the terminology. All right, so you got the Council on Foreign Relations in the orbit of the nucleus, which is really the Committee of 300, the Venetian Black Nobility, and the family power structure, that oldest structure of European families. So from that, and you can follow the arrows. You have, I don't know who did this graphic. I don't know who to thank, but thank you. So you've got in that orbit, you've got the, again, the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. I'm going to get into most of these here in a little bit. The UN, the United Nations. And then, of course, the Bilderberg Group. You know about them, right? Alex Jones, you know about them. The Royal Institute of International Affairs and the Trilateral Commission. That's the graphic on the right. It shows you that's a pretty good graphic. I can't read the bottom one. I cut that off. I apologize. Now, what are you going to do? All right. So the organizational chart on the left, you can find this on the internet all over the place. Man, it's everywhere. So people say, well, it's Illuminati. You've heard Dr. Proctor identify the secret society known as the Illuminati on this program. And people talk about the Illuminati. Well, and they joke about it. Oh, this is just, oh, it's all, you know, just conspiratorial nonsense. No, now hold on just a second here. Because it's not. But what comprises the Illuminati? When somebody says that, what's that? Well, you've got this really going back to antiquity, royal bloodlines. Now, if you look at the names there, of course, you're going to see familiar names. You've heard my guests talk about or mention names like the Astors and Rothschilds and Bundys. And you can take a look at the names. Kennedys, Lee from China, Onassis. Boy, that's a, you know, that's a shocker, right? And then, of course, you've got the Merovingian bloodline. Very interesting point on that. I'm just going to digress momentarily on that. The Merovingian bloodline, those people, that they believe that the Merovingians, and I'm simplifying this, are descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus had children? No? Neither did I. It's not in my Bible. Again, this is what they believe. All right, so then underneath that, you've got foundation nations of this global structure. You've got the financial groups, you've got the research institutions or the institutions of higher learning, and then you've got the secret societies. And, you know, admittedly, there are secret societies. Not so secret society. Skull and Bones. I mean, who doesn't know about Yale's Skull and Bones? Is it secret? No. It's out in the open. George W. Bush, member of the Skull and Bones. Well, how do you become a member of Skull and Bones? Well, you gotta be accepted and then you gotta go through initiation rite. And well, what are those? Well, I'll let you search that out. What about the research institutions? Oh, look. Tavistock. Huh. Brookings. Stanford. Any of these names ring a bell? They should. And if you research all of them, you'll find their actions during the Second World War, in some cases, post-Second World War. Things like mind control with the CIA. Oh, I know you call me crazy. People thought that was nuts until the church committee, right? Church committee admitted the presence of mind control operations within the CIA. In fact, the next day or same day as the heart attack gun. Remember that? When that was publicized? Right on TV. CIA says, yeah, we have a heart attack gun. The American public said, oh, okay. Yeah, we assassinate people. Is that a bad thing? No, not really. Is that a bad thing? It's just a fact. So now look at this organizational chart. Now then you've got these other subsets, and you can go through these one by one. You got the political, the intelligence, and oh my goodness, what else do we have? The religious section, the World Federation, World Council of Churches, World Federation of Religions. Just take a look at that. And again, I don't know who did that chart, but thank you very much. The educational side of things. Ladies upset. The studio dog's upset about all this, in case you hear her in the background. UNESCO, part of the United Nations. Lucius Trust, what's that? What's that short for? Yeah, go ahead and research all of that. You don't take my word for any of this. So, all right. But how do you get from that to the picture of the woman on the street with the, you know, mask, Black Lives Matter, and boy, there's got to be a lot of stuff going on in between. Let's go to the next slide. We'll get to it. Well, when you start taking this apart, and I want to thank, this is from Dr. John Coleman. You start looking at various organizations, you're going from the top down, and you find Committee of 300, of course, is the umbrella group for a lot of organizations, such as the Bilderberg Group, the Tavistock Institute. Well, just take a look. They're all up there. The Trilateral Commission, the RIIA, the World Council of Churches. This is the umbrella group for the Committee of 300. Well, what is the Committee of 300? Well, that's a non-elected group of individuals, families, corporations that really call the shots. They're the string pullers, and all of these others are subparts. Now, above that, you've got, as the previous slide showed, excuse me, you have... you've got the royal families, or the families of antiquity through history, the 13 bloodlines in the associated families. Excuse me. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I had a frog in my throat. I had to take a sip of Detective's Choice hypercaffeinated coffee. All right. So there you go. There's just some, not all. That's not an all-inclusive list, but that gives you an idea. British Petroleum and the Canadian version of the CFR, of the American CFR. So there you have it. Again, just some of the skull and bones again. Just some of the things that I figured, you know what, would be interesting to look at should you decide to search them on, a start page or something like that. Not using Google. All right, let's go to the next one. But one of the fascinations I had was with the Club of Rome. And the Club of Rome, their objective, again, the Club of Rome is a subset of the Committee of 300, which is a subset of the planners. The Club of Rome, their objective is the dissolution of the United States and depopulation. How? Well, they believe in genocide and eugenics. They want to attack and destroy our agricultural system, our industrial system, our economic system. Have we, and I put in there on the draw, on the chalkboard there, my virtual chalkboard, COVID. Because what's the response been? Not the disease or not the virus, but what's the response to COVID been? Economic destruction. And oh yes, remember that panel I had earlier? refuse fascism. Trump and Pence, they gotta go. Before the response to the, there it is right there. Remember that? Yeah, see that? Right there. That's refuse fascism. Well, where did that come from? Why did refuse fascism adopt that? Adopt that sign, slogan. Why did they put the target on President Donald Trump and Pence? Well, because the economy, because President Trump, in a nutshell, is a nationalist. He believes in American exceptionalism. He believes that we have to right or correct the improper trade imbalance with China. So as soon as, okay, again, think back. Took you back to 2008, not to go to 2016. Hillary was supposed to get in. But, you know, even the best laid plans, even the people with the most power, sometimes things happen, right? Sometimes, you know, you might have the biggest gun, you might have the best position, advantageous position, but stuff happens. Things happen. Didn't see that coming. President Trump got in. Not with the approval of the Council on Foreign Relations. And most assuredly not with the approval of the Council or the Committee of 300. So that's why you see all of the hatred against Donald Trump. This is not organic. These people, or at least the majority of these people, would absolutely not have these signs or hate Donald Trump unless they were told to hate Donald Trump. Can we go? I'm going to hurry this up here. So the economic recovery, COVID is destroyed at the response. Now, the insurgency that we're seeing, social unrest. Now, when I was looking at this, and I just put this as kind of a footnote. When I was doing my research on this, when you go back to the 1980 election, remember when Ronald Reagan, you probably don't remember, but I do because I'm old. When Ronald Reagan was elected over Jimmy Carter, Jimmy Carter, was it Ronald Reagan who was elected? There was an attempt to nullify Reagan's election in a number of different ways and an attempted assassination where he was struck by a bullet, but he recovered. But he wasn't really the same after that. But I digress. That's kind of a footnote to all of this. Let's go to the next one. And by the way, they're trying to do that to Donald Trump now. So here are some of the tactics, some of the goals, some of the targets stated by the Club of Rome. Destroy Christianity, destroy biblical or the traditional family. And I put down SCOTUS there, the Supreme Court. They're using the Supreme Court to do so. By the way, Gorsuch is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Just saying. They're trying to destroy this country by way of the women's liberation movements. Hashtags such as Me Too, My Body, My Choice, Abortion on Demand. These are all tactics, methods of operation by the Club of Rome, by the people who are the string pullers. They're attempting to, in doing so, it's creating civil unrest. They want to destabilize the United States. And how are they doing that? Take a look right below that. Black exceptionalism. Only black lives matter. How dare you say all lives matter? You say all lives matter, you're a racist, and we will ban and censor you, and I'll slap you silly. They're also doing it through youth rebellion, such as Antifa. If you look at the demographic of those people out there setting fires, looting and such, you're going to see a relatively younger demographic that comprises Antifa. So you've got black exceptionalism combined with youth rebellion. So then targeting the political process, well, the people in power speaking for or representing the Club of Rome and other people, hey, you know what we got to do? We got to pass, you want to have voter ID? No ID to vote. Mail-in ballots. Everybody just vote. What the hell? Throw in 2, 3, whatever. But make sure you do it for a leftist or for a communist. And then disarming the population. Let's pass legislation once we're in there to disarm the population. And lastly, to destroy capitalism and the economy. Like I said, COVID response. Some of these are obviously the same, but you get the idea. Clever room tactics, methods, and targets. Go ahead. Next one. Now, in addition, you've got the Tavistock Institute is a member of this group. How many people have heard of the Tavistock Institute? Studio audience? Okay. Vast majority of the studio audience I'm looking out over, it must be about, it's a bigly crowd. I would say, it's a huge crowd. Must be at least, biggest crowd I've ever seen for a studio audience. Serious. And Ricky, what are you cooking up tonight? There. Let me see. Oh. Boy, it smells good. Ricky, thank you very much. I appreciate you bringing me along. All right. Tavistock Institute. It's part of the umbrella groups. And the Tavistock is kind of the mind, the mental part of all of this. Let's program the masses. And they do it through sub-organizations such as the Brookings Institute, the Hudson Institute. Stanford Research again. The Wharton School of Business. Wow. MIT. Isn't that interesting? Where do we see a lot of the social networking and stuff? And I could add more, but I would do your research as well on Tavistock. Let's go to the next one. Another group, subgroup. You've heard this. I'm sure you've heard about this. Well, the Trilateral Commission. They're members of the Trilateral Commission. Well, what's the Trilateral Commission? It's a CFR front. It's a CFR front organization, which was established to influence American foreign policy to facilitate the CFR's expansion into other countries. Simple as that. The CFR uses front organizations to protect it from connecting the illegal activities, illegalities that could lead to a congressional investigation. We don't want that. Gosh, I hate that when that happens. All right, let's go to the next one. Council on Foreign Relations, you heard about that, right? Well, they're part of an international group of co-conspirators that have been carrying out successful covert operations since the mid-1800s. And you say, wait a minute, they haven't been around that long. Oh, but they have, just in different form, different name, overseas. Now, the United States branch is known as the Council on Foreign Relations, but the British branch is operating as and is known as the Royal Institute of International Affairs. And I've mentioned this before, RIIA. All right. So, you know, it's, again, are you seeing a pattern here? The names that we toss about so glibly, can we see that? Can you see that where all these are coming from? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Now, remember, excuse me. Remember I said about, I didn't mean to cough in the microphone. Remember I said about the media. Who's putting the idea that Donald Trump is a bad orange guy? Cheeto, bad orange guy. Well, the American media. It's really simple. You've heard it. You've heard people say, you know, all of the stations, all of the media, all of the print, all of the websites, news websites are controlled by six corporations, right? Well, who controls those? Ultimately, Council on Foreign Relations. But the CFR controls the media. Now, you got to understand this. Through the Trilateral Commission, members of the Trilateral Commission, and members of the Trilateral Commission who are members of the media as well. And this is important for me to say it this way. And then you've got individuals in the media who are part of the Bilderberg meetings and agenda. You see what I'm saying here? There's a lot of overlap. So you've got infiltration of our media by members of the Trilateral Commission and by members of the Bilderberg Group organization. And you've got the reverse as well. But what's above that? You've got the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations. And do you know when this came out? It was rubber stamped. Yeah, that's true. Guess who brought this out? Julian Assange confirmed it by way of WikiLeaks. Isn't that just a kind of a little nice note of trivia? Let's go to the next one. So, you know, looking at the refuse fascism signs, Black Lives Matter, and I'm starting to follow all of the lowest groups starting to follow it up and the bigger groups following them down. I come across this, Socialist International. Well, this group's been around a while, and they are supported by the Congressional Black Caucus, and the Congressional Black Caucus is influenced by Socialist International. There's a marriage there, so you've got this socialist infiltration into our Congress by way of the Congressional Black Caucus, complements of the Socialist International. And, of course, their motto is progressive politics for a fairer world. In other words, communism. But we're not going to call it that. All right, let's go to the next one. And this brings me to Ocasio-Cortez. All of that, everyone, you know, the person everyone laughs at. Forget about it. She's just, yeah. Guess what? She won by a landslide. That's right. Why? I thought everyone was making fun of her. Must have been the young people voting. I don't know. No. Big money's backing her. But what is she touting? The Green New Deal. What's that all about? It's about ridding the United States, but the planet, of nuclear energy. Why? Well, we shouldn't have nuclear energy anyway, right? It's horrible. No, it's safer than you might think. But regardless of what you think, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. They're targeting nuclear energy as a method of power, not of weapons, but of power, because they want to deindustrialize the West. Let's go to the next one here. I'm watching the time. And, of course, we have our friend George Soros. Oh, my goodness. Everybody is saying, it's George Soros behind it all. To an extent, you're right. But George Soros is not – he's not the doorstop. He's not the end. He's not the – the buck does not stop with George Soros. Well, it kind of does in certain cases because he wields a lot of money. But Soros funds a group of international foundations. And, of course, the top 12 – foundations, you ready for this, are controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations. Foundations are used by CFR to funnel corporate and personal wealth into the policy-making process. And there's all sorts of benefits for this, tax-free. Oh, my goodness, it's just, you know, everyone's happy. Well, who are these? Who are the foundations? Now, they change. Although there are 12 here, this is not, including the Open Society Institute, this is not an all-inclusive or current necessarily list. But you've got the Ford and Lilly Foundations, the Rockefeller Foundations, Duke Endowment. You can read them. Carnegie. This is how Soros operates, in addition to Open Society Institute as well, the Open Society Foundation. But you're looking at nearly, and this is an old number, okay? I'll tell you what, let me go back and look at the last sentence here. In 1970, there were 7,000 foundations that controlled $20 billion in assets. Does that say 70, Eric? Yeah, it does, right? I want to make sure I got that right and it's not 90. Okay.
1970.
All right. So nearly 40% of those foundations, their assets were controlled by the top 12 foundations. Again, this, now, you look at this 50 years old, has it changed? Not much. Not much at all. I would urge everyone to take a look at George Soros, look at the Council on Foreign Relations, look at the current list that the CFR uses to fund or for funding, and who George Soros is connected to. Now, those are not 1970 foundations listed. Those are foundations listed that are involved with the CFR, but those are not the original 1970 foundations, to my knowledge, although it doesn't preclude them to be. All right, next one. So let's look at the Open Society Institute. What's George, again, George Soros everywhere. You just can't, you know, well, the Open Society Institute issues grants to promote and fund abortion. Now, they do a lot more, but that's primarily what it's all about. They are promoting eugenics, genocide, and population control? Question mark. I don't know. You tell me. Are they? Next one. Back to the CFR. They're the founding members, by the way, including Herbert Hoover and others. But anyway, the CFR was founded on July 29th, 1921. That's reported to be a U.S. nonprofit think tank. Think tank. This is how they promote themselves. Specializing in U.S. foreign policy and international affairs. This is where private and government interests kind of overlap. And you can visit them. They have an office in New York City. They have a satellite office in Washington, D.C., to Hillary Clinton's delight. All right, next one. All right, I want to touch on this real quick here. This is what Eric the Tech had found, and this does relate to what we're talking about. It absolutely relates to what we're talking about, because all of these groups, Apple, Google, which I didn't put on here, but they're all controlled under the umbrella of the Committee of 300, their management, their staff, and then the subgroups. What we were talking about earlier, and by the way, I'm just going to leave that. I had so much more to get into with respect to the string pullers, but if you want, let me know. We can do it again. Leave a comment in the YouTube section. We can continue with this. But I want to get this out here because this is, again, it's still part of it, but it also... something that Eric the Tech had found and we had searched. In the sun this morning, your iPhone has a hidden map of everywhere you go. And I wanted to screen capture this from the sun and print it, or, you know, put it on the screen for you so you can use this. So there's instructions here how to find your iPhone location map and then how to delete iPhone significant locations. And I apologize if you can't really read that, at least the bottom part. But I don't have to read it. You can go to the Sun, look up this headline, logged, your iPhone has a hidden map of everywhere you go, how to find it, how to find your iPhone location map, go through that, and then how to delete significant locations. Is there another one after that, or is that it? Okay, good. I want to rush through that because I want to get through all of those. So do yourself a favor. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you have an iPhone or if you've got an Android, and if you don't want to be surveilled, leave your phone home. Simple as that. If you say, well, I'm not comfortable with that because I want to have a phone, you know, before I used to carry some dimes, then I went to quarters. In my car. So if I broke down, I could walk to a payphone. Well, you can't find payphones anymore. So yeah, I can understand. If you can't get yourself a burner phone, you know, an old style phone that you can toss, then if you have to carry a cell phone for emergencies, get yourself some sort of a mobile Faraday cage so that no one can track your movements. Because you're not, if you have an iPhone or an Android, a smartphone, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to outrun it any more than you can outrun a bullet or a radio in a cop car. You're not going to outrun it. Dude, I hope you take my advice. on the iPhones. But that surveillance network goes right back to the people, the string pullers. Hopefully I identified the string pullers for you, at least the organizations, not necessarily the names. I got so much more on Refuse Fascism, Black Lives Matter, but you get the idea. There's the who and the why and the what. I'll be right back. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, HagmannReportLive.com. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Hagmann Report, hour two today. Hey, you know what? Let me know if you want me to continue in that fashion with respect to my research of the string pullers. Let me know. Just leave a comment in the program description box or comment in the comment section at YouTube or send an email to studio@HagmannReport.com. I have a frog in my throat. I apologize. You know, again, I referenced the Committee of 300. I referenced the Club of Rome. These are organizations you may or may not have heard about. And, of course, the Venetian Black Nobility that gets into some pretty esoteric things, all right? And some things that people might say, man, you're a little off. You're a little, you know, a little bonkers. But I'm not so sure about that. And, you know, go back to the French Revolution and understand this. Or go back to the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution. But with respect to the French Revolution, the driving force behind the French Revolution was, in fact, the secret society known as the Illuminati. And it was orchestrated by a Freemason lodge in London. And the Nine Sisters Freemason Lodge of Paris. Those are where the roots and the origins of the French Revolution were. Just saying. And by the way, there's some disagreement with respect to the origin of the Illuminati, but there's a good deal of agreement that the Illuminati sprang from the Rosicrucians. Just want to make sure people know that. The so-called gatekeepers of the master secrets. Gets deep. It does. It gets deep. So John Coleman has done a lot of work on that. I cite him quite frequently. And my guest, or part of the program, actually, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, is equally, if not more, educated on me, on this stuff. Healthmasters.com is the place to go. Healthmasters.com. Go to healthmasters.com. There you'll find products that will make you feel better. At least they make me feel better. I'm going to tell you what. The Hagmann Brower Healthy Immune Kit. Boy, you want your immune system to be really, really a top, tip-top shape? Grab that. I know that there are some supply issues. Things are back in stock. So, healthmasters.com, HR5, Hagmann Report, like HR, HR5 for Hagman Report. HR5 for 5% off your purchase, and you apply that at checkout on non-saleable items, of course. HR5, healthmasters.com, the best products, I believe, on the market for nutritional supplements. Oh, by the way, they've got a program, a radio program, every weekday. And again, for those people who are, who might be living in, I won't pick on people in San Francisco or Hattiesburg, but I won't pick on anyone like that. But for those people who are a little bit challenged, it's Monday through Friday. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. and Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m. Listen to Ted and Austin Brower. I do. And their program is great. All right, Austin, take it away before my voice just shuts down altogether.
Well, thank you again for having me on. It's definitely a pleasure as always. And one thing I did want to make sure we add in there, and we ran into this. I just found this out today. You know, we've been trying to do the best we can to keep everybody supplied with the organic food buckets. We just ran out of stock today. We have more coming in stock. The problem with it is that the demand for these buckets is far superseding what the manufacturer can keep up with. You know, I mentioned it last week on the show. A lot of the listeners came in and bought the products. Yeah, that's on the front page. That'll be down here shortly. I'm already talking to my IT guy about having to pull that off just for the fact that, I mean, we are doing exactly what we can, the best we can, to keep everybody loaded up with organic food. But people are waking up now. You're seeing the second phase of this stupid, just COVID overreaction. I spoke to a girl that works at Lakeland Regional, an RN, the other day. She actually listens to our show some. And I asked her, this is Lakeland Regional. This is a pretty big hospital in Central Florida here. I mean, it's not massive, but it's pretty big, and it spans out different annexes. And I asked her, I said, what's really going on with this? And she said, well, they really don't want us talking about it. She said, but off the cuff, if you don't mention my name, she goes, there's a ton of people that are getting tested. And she goes, almost everybody that's getting tested is testing positive for it. She said, but the weird part about this is now, majority of the people we're encountering have either very mild to no symptoms, some of them having like flu-like symptoms and they don't feel good and they got body aches for a couple days. She goes, but the majority of people that are testing positive around Central Florida, we're sending them home and basically give them a couple meds to make them feel better, like on the flu, and that's it. We're not hospitalizing people. Very few people are having to go on respirators. She said a majority of people that are moderately healthy are over this stuff in like 3 to 5 days. I had another good buddy of mine who does roofing. His business partner caught it. He caught it last week. He texted me. He's like, man, I got COVID. I just got my results back. I tested positive. I said, well, how do you feel? He's like, man, I'm really tired today. And so I touch base with him every single day. I've been good friends with him for years. And he sent me the letter as far as his positive test. He's about 40 years old. Got a couple of kids. Whole family's got it. And this was last week. And I just texted him up earlier today. And I said, hey, man, how are you feeling? He said, dude, I'm feeling a lot better now. I'm still kind of tired. Family's a little tired, but we're all feeling better. Going to go get retested next week. And I said, okay. So pretty much what I gathered is from this and from three other people that I've known that have caught it, and then talking to the RN, she told me, she said, quite frankly, Austin, if nobody put this out in the media and nobody brought this up, you literally would not know anything about it. You would think you caught the flu or you got a head cold and you'd go on with your life. She said, there's not, the numbers are being completely and totally manipulated to make people think everybody's dying from this, and they're not. And now, just now in Florida, today, you know, what, June 26th or whatever day it is, I think today, I just got a letter. I just basically got a email from one of my good friends, and the state of Florida has now refusing, they basically told any bar, restaurant, they're not allowed to serve alcohol whatsoever, which effectively has put all bars back out of business again. All bars now have to shut back down. Restaurants, a massive portion of their income via alcohol is now shut down. Now, you guys know I'm not a big proponent of alcohol consumption, but everybody has their free choice to do so. But in the restaurant industry, alcohol is a massive revenue producer. There's no question about it. There's a huge margin with alcohol sales. And what's ironic is they're not shutting down everything else yet, but they're saying alcohol sales have to stop. Now, you got to kind of ask yourself that question. A week and a half ago, they were saying on mainstream news that social justice is more important than quarantine and social distancing, and you need to go out and protest and essentially riot and loot and vandalize everything. But now you have a lot of these local restaurants, small mom and pop restaurants, bars all over Central Florida. They're not going to be able to survive the second wave. I know a lot of business owners all over Florida. And the first thing, them shutting them down, was financially detrimental. The only thing that really kept them afloat were the loans that some of them applied for and kept them going, or the owners had a decent amount of savings, and there was a big following when the bars, so when they opened it back up, they've been able to have decent sales. Same thing with the restaurants. Doing this again now is full-blown lunacy down here in Florida when we understand what's really going on and you're seeing what's really happening. And now, just yesterday, the United Nations News, the UN News, reported and quoted the IMF. And I'm going to read it here now. This is really, when I read this, this is going to be an eye-opener to all your listeners why they're doing this. It has nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do with overrunning the hospitals. It has nothing to do with protecting people. It's all about bringing us into a global financial control system. This is the article I printed off earlier this morning. And it was stated, the recovery will be slower following the crisis like no other, the IMF predicts. This is from UN.org. They said the economic recovery from the COVID pandemic is projected to be gradual than previously forecasted. The estimated growth this year is -4.9% via the IMF report. The international community, listen to this, the international community must now vastly step up its support of national initiatives, including large financial assistance to countries with limited health, fiscal measures, and global cooperation under that measure. The report recommends that in areas still under lockdown, authorities still continue to cushion household income losses via stimulus packages. The underlying importance of strong global cooperation throughout the pandemic is a must, noting that countries confronting the crisis while also facing a drop in external funding or other financing, urgently need liquidity assistance, more bailouts. Again, looking beyond the crisis, the report urges policymakers to resolve trade and technology tensions that are putting recovery at risk. Additionally, they should implement climate-related commitments and scale up carbon taxation. Right here from the UN News reported. We need to scale up carbon taxation. Now, I don't know if anybody else can figure out this. It's pretty easy to see. Global carbon taxation has nothing to do with a flu-like COVID-19 virus that's floating around. This, again, is being used by the global bankers that are in control, the IMF and the Federal Reserve and so forth, to push their financial agenda on the populace. What happened is the whole country started to bounce back fairly quick, even though it was absolutely horrified with the shutdown. We all were like, okay, we're back open again. Businesses started coming back to life. Production started coming back to life. And now they're going, okay, we have to figure out a way to scare the populace into not doing business. We have to prevent them from being able to have money. And the thing about this is a lot of people don't realize this. I used to work at a restaurant as a server when I was in college. Now, if most people know, a lot of server income is cash. You go to a restaurant, you get tips, they're in cash. So you have a huge part of the populace that still primarily relies on cash. Now, if you pull the article up from Statista, as of May 2019, this was last spring, before all this stuff started, the people employed in the U.S. restaurant industry was roughly 13.5 million people in the United States. That is a huge part of the U.S. workforce just working in the restaurant industry. And so what you're seeing is now the restaurants are being targeted most aggressively, whether it be bars, whether it be food, whether it be alcohol consumption, because they want to try to break that backbone of the economy. Not only does it produce a large amount of cash, it also has people communicating. Think about what you do when you go to a restaurant or you go to a bar. Doug, I know we don't go to bars anymore, but what do people do? They drink and they socialize. They talk, right? Generally, if you go to Walmart, which I don't like to do, or you go to Sam's, which I also don't like to do, or you go anywhere to grab something, you generally don't walk around and just talk to people. You don't pass somebody in a shopping cart and go, hey, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. It's generally not social what you do there. You walk around, you shop, you grab your stuff, and leave. Now, they mandated everybody has to wear masks. So now nobody communicates when you go to the store. Everybody's walking around with masks with scared eyes, or a large percentage of people, not everybody. There's still a lot of people around here that are awake like Ted and I, and they're wearing masks, all terrified. Oh, don't get near me. Don't talk to me. I've got a mask on. I'm social distancing, but I don't want to catch something. You're like, Well, when people go to bars and people go to restaurants, they communicate. When you're talking and eating and drinking, you're not going to wear a mask. Nobody does in restaurants. So now they want to try to shut down that venue to push more people into online traffic and online conversations and reduce the ability to communicate without being monitored all the time. This is being driven directly to try to monitor, watch, and essentially trace. It goes back to the contact tracing. Because remember, the phones are being used to contact trace where everybody goes. So if you got people that are like, yeah, leave your phone in the car. We're going to the restaurant. We're going to talk in here anyways. They do not have the ability to monitor, track, and listen to everything you do while you're in there. So they're trying to break that backbone of the country. So very troubling to see this, but very clear when you see this UN article and what the IMF's talking about, global carbon taxation, helping out other countries financially and doing it aggressively that don't have the same health resources. That sounds a lot to me like the UN is going to start demanding large amounts of money again to try to steal from the global and the United States population to disperse so they can again break the backbone and put us further into debt so they can slowly bring in this new world government. Just something I wanted to bring up today, Doug.
All right. Austin, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We have a little issue with the with the video and audio. So it all came through, but we're going to reconnect with you just to, in fact, we're going to do that right now. Folks, you're listening to Austin Brower, my guest. And isn't it interesting what he said too about, the response to the virus? I mean, he said a lot of things, but the plans, I kind of hope that I laid the groundwork for the big string pullers here. But the IMF he mentioned, you know, about the economy and such. These are all subgroupings, or they're all answerable to, for example, the Committee of 300, the Club of Rome. So there's a hierarchy here that's in place. And if you're not part of that system, if you're not part of that, that hierarchy that is to usher in this global governance, like, for example, President Trump, but just on average, you and I, of course, we are the useless people to them, and we are the ones who are scheduled for re-education so we can work for them, or extermination. And, of course, they're also doing that through genocide, through foreign wars and genocide. Believe me, that's taking place. Think Bill Gates vaccines in certain respects, but think of foreign wars as well. And They're also doing that through the murdering of unborn children. So all of that. Just let me know when we have them back. We have them back? All right. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. So you had mentioned this is in part a blow to the restaurant service industry, which, Austin, don't you find it interesting that since really, the Nixon administration, when China was opened up, the majority of our country was, at that time, was industrial. We were producing things. And then all of a sudden, China opens up, things flip, we become a service-oriented country, and China becomes, and other countries become producers that supply us. We supply a service. And then our service gets shut down, and as a response to COVID or this Chinese Party virus, the Kung Flu, and again, it's the response to it. And it's interesting as well where many of the tests are showing up positive for COVID. And I've often said this week, if no one said anything about the coronavirus, would you even know it existed? Now, that's not
exactly.
To say, it's not to say that there's not maybe other mutations or perhaps a payload we don't know about, or round two or round three that's on its way. But in this particular case, at this moment in time, have we destroyed our economy, or has the economy been virtually destroyed for nothing? You're right. So go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the fact, like I said, now, I mean, I've had four close friends of mine that I've known for years show me papers as far as they tested. They wouldn't test it. I'm like, I'm not getting tested. I think I've already had it, and I'm already past it and be done with it. And it is what it is. And the problem is everybody is not understanding the fact exactly what you just said. If it wasn't pushed and fear-hyped in the media, majority of people would have caught it, been like, oh, man, I got a head cold, I got a bug, I caught a mild flu. They'd kick it and be done with it. Our bodies get exposed to 70-plus viruses on a regular basis that we fight off all the time. And that's why it's so crucial to keep the immune system strong in the body to make sure you can fight off all of these different issues. Am I still having connection problems, Doug?
It's better. Eric the Tech, what do you say?
It's a little better. It's choppy, but the audio is still coming through.
Our show got shut down with Global Star yesterday. Our internet has absolutely been abysmal for the last 2 days. I've been on and off the phone with customer support. It's constantly going out. It's super slow. And what's funny about it is we're hardwired into everything here. We're not even using Wi-Fi. And they say, oh, well, there's a lot of traffic. I'm like, there's not a lot of traffic. There's no difference here in Florida or Central. Nothing's changed with traffic except maybe a few people working at home. But what's ironic is they've been using – they can throttle down internet. They already said this. That's why when you buy a 50-megabyte or 100-megabyte subscription, then you want 300. They don't have to change your router or change your cable. They just throttle you more internet. And what's ironic to me is a lot of these companies now have already been caught throttling internet whenever they want to reduce what people are talking about. Or they can say, oh, the internet's gotten slow. We need more 5G towers now. All the internet's super, super slow now as they throttle it down. Becoming very, very frustrating, Doug. I've had enough of these guys locally with internet. And the problem is they have a monopoly with Spectrum. They always do this in areas. They get areas where they control. They're the only ones control it. Last time I thought, the United States didn't allow full-blown monopolies anymore. But they do regional monopolies still here in the United States. And it's exactly why they've allowed them to do it. So you only have a few small companies that control all of the internet, all the TV, all the news, and you can tell them what they can and can't put out on a regular basis. But I apologize for my abysmal connection.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's workable right now, so let's go with it. Healthmasters.com, folks, please order, at the very least, order your nutritional supplements, those being the basics at least, that being the ultimate multiple vitamin you take daily, as well as the, you know, the usual B's, C's, D, and so on. But start with the ultimate multiple. If you have to make a choice, do that. I guarantee it, you're going to feel a lot better, or you're going to feel good, or you're going to stay feeling well. That's healthmasters.com. HR5 is the coupon code. And while you're there, you know what? Listen to Ted and Austin. Their show. It's the link on the right hand side. It's in blue. There it is. You can listen to live or archived shows as well. Yeah, it's interesting how, Austin, how, we've been experiencing some technical difficulties as well. I'm not buying the fact that there's traffic. I'm not buying, you know, look.
Heck no.
You know, I mean, look, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, but other times, meh, there's stuff that's wrong. So.
Well, no, it's funny how, you know, CNN and NBC and all the other main news outlets, they haven't had any issues with internet outages. They're not getting DOS attacks on a regular, habitual basis trying to shut down their network. They seem to be perfectly fine.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's been increasingly frustrating this week with all of the absolute attacks we've been dealing with from every which way. And the same thing, like we're dealing with people on Facebook now coming on there and just blatantly trying to spread lies and attack us and just completely and totally slander us on there with baseless allegations that they have no backing to at all. Just going on there and then going on and trying to reply to people's comments that talk about how great our products were and how they love the products and how they've gotten great support from our company, and going on there and just coming up with flagrant lies and trying to get just start crap to the point we've had to pull Facebook down now. We have had nonstop attacks for the last couple weeks, and it's ironic because your show, our show, there's only a few of our shows out there that are really calling out what's going on. The same thing, like I said on our show earlier today on the Ted and Austin Brower Show, with the context of what they're doing with Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these social media platforms now, where even on, you know, Operation Veritas, they've even shown now that all these moderators that they put on payroll are 100% hardcore leftists, and they're blatantly censoring and shutting down and blocking certain comments, articles, reposts that push the truth, and they literally allow almost everything to go untouched on the left. And it's the same thing we saw when Judy Malkovich came out with her video Plandemic, how it was pretty much the most censored video we've ever experienced on every single platform, and nobody would allow it to stay up. And all of a sudden, people started waking up to what was going on with COVID. When she started talking about what Fauci's been involved in all the way back then, the AIDS, and she had the documentation, and they threw her in prison, all this stuff was very, very out in the open, and people started to wake up. And of course, they completely and totally lambasted her as fake news, shut her down on every single site she got on, even attacked her personal website and kept shutting it down, shutting it down, shutting it down, because they didn't want that video going out. And people started waking up. So what'd they do? They changed the narrative. They went back to the riot, racial narrative, and pushed that until they could get the topic back on COVID. And now here we are again in the greatest economy, greatest country in the entire world, and they're shutting us down over the flu, shutting down, making people register to go to church, making people wear masks to walk outside and go into stores, not allowing places to basically sell alcohol, not allowing places to be able to operate freely and increase their growth and make sales. It's 100% to ruin the economy. And as the UN article just said with the IMF, they want to bring in more stimulus package, promote more socialism, and ruin it to an utter complete failure so they can bring it in as of something that they can fully control and monitor, as if they don't control it enough, I guess.
You know, earlier today, Governor Abbott from Texas, listen to this. Bars must close at noon today. This is a headline from earlier this morning. Bars must close at noon today. Restaurants to reduce to 50% outdoor gatherings are limited. So the source on this is KHOU Channel 11. And it says that just one day after temporarily pausing the state's reopening plans, they're now shutting things down.
There you go.
So, and what bothers me too about this, all outdoor gatherings, all outdoor gatherings of 100 or more people must be approved by the local government.
Ah, there you go. Permission. Can I have your permission, master, to have people over for a party? Can I pay a permit fine? Can I have permission to travel freely, unmolested on my way? Can I have permission to have a birthday party at my house? That's where this is going. This is exactly where they are pushing it. They want to condition people and their psyche, because that's the thing. If you can program people through fear hard and long enough, people will start to believe that you're their master. They've done this in numerous psychological trials and studies. They're doing this to make people believe this is being done for your safety. You have to ask permission. Okay, you have to wear a mask to walk in the store. Even though the boxes of the little ear mask that they tell everybody to wear blatantly say on the box, these do not protect you from COVID-19. I took a photo of one the other day. Blatantly says on the box, these do not protect you against COVID. These do not protect you against viruses. These are like particle masks to prevent you from breathing in dust and debris. They do absolutely nothing to stop virus exposure. Doesn't matter. People still put on the mask. That's why I've been encouraging everybody, go out there, especially if you've got a chiropractor or a doctor or somebody that you know, or naturopath, get them to write you a letter that states, due to health reasons, you cannot wear a mask. Basically, if any questions, they can call them. Via HIPAA law, the law enforcement or individual cannot ask you what your health reason is. Now, private stores, private property can say if that is their policy that you're not allowed in. However, I've talked to numerous people and they have not prevented people from being able to go to the store or anything if you basically say you have a health condition or you have a letter. But this is what they're trying to push to everybody as. They're trying to push everybody into full-blown compliance so that everybody steps back and goes, can I have permission to go to the grocery store? Oh, can I have permission to go to the gas station? Okay. Can I have permission to go to the bathroom, master? Is that okay? Can I get a permit to go to the toilet? This is what they want everybody to get in their heads. So that another 2 or 3 years of this, it's funny, Dave Hodges said this months ago when they came out with the phase one, or the pre-phase, and the phase one, and the phase two, and the phase three. He said, if you look at it, phase three, there is no phase four. Phase three, there are still restrictions. There is no phase four ending. And he said, we're probably never going to get out of the phases. They're going to constantly use them as, oh, you're in phase, because everybody's still stuck in phase two. We ain't got to phase three. Now we're about to go back to phase one again, they're talking about now. Bars shut down, restaurants basically shutting down the inside, all this stuff again. Texas is doing it. Florida's starting to do it now. All these states are starting to go back again to shut it down. And they'll keep doing this yo-yo effect. And I can guarantee you in a month or two, they're going to start going back in. Okay, we're in phase two again. You can open everything back up. You're okay. You have permission. And you notice every single time they do this back and forth, they increase the restrictions and they increase the requirements and they increase the surveillance and they increase the monitoring a little more. What they'll do is they'll keep pushing this. And of course, we're going to have everything start to spool up for the election. Then you're going to start to have more conflict for everything for the election. And they're doing everything they can to get that idiot, brain-dead Biden in the office. He came out today with an article on Fox News and said, if I'm president, I'm going to federally mandate everyone has to wear a mask from a federal level.
Right.
Federal level, Doug. Did you see that?
I did, I mentioned it earlier. And my question to you is, how's that going to work? And I'm serious. How is that going to work? Because I'm not doing it. I know a lot of people who aren't going to do it. And I don't think they can enforce it. Do you?
Here's the issue that we're going to run into, and this is what I found. Majority of the people that are waking up to this are either patriots, or they have been and they're waking up again, or they already were. Majority of people that were resisting this are fairly conservative, open-minded. You don't see a lot of the liberal leftist agenda being like, we're not going to wear a mask. You know, we believe that abortion's okay, but we're not going to wear a mask. You don't see a whole lot of that. There may be, you know, little pockets of them, but not a lot. Majority of the people, they're all about liberty and civil rights and freedom and constitutional rights are usually moderately conservative and patriot. Those are the people that are resisting these masks. So how easy is it going to be to start singling out people when they go out in public? Because they're not going to have a fire team with them. They're not going to be on their property, basically, with a team securing the perimeter. They're going to be out by themselves with one or two people, and they're going to stop them. They already said this now, basically, in the Keys. Down in the Keys, they said that they now have mandated masks till June 2021 down in the Florida Keys. 2021, Doug, a year now, and they said every quarter they will visit it to see if they're going to allow to come up. And if you get caught in a business or in a restaurant or anywhere in a public setting and you don't have a mask, law enforcement has been authorized by the city commissioners in these towns and the county commissioners to fine you $500. Now, the troubling part about this is it's a civil matter. It's not a criminal matter. I talked to my brother about this. You know, my brother's about to finish law school at Florida State. So what it is it makes it a very difficult to fight it more aggressively because the burden isn't on the state as a criminal issue anymore. It's a civil. So they say is, well, if you don't want to wear a mask, don't go outside. Well, you say, well, I want to be able to travel freely on my way. Well, if you go back to a 1905 case law, they will show that essentially in cases of a horrible health concern or pandemic, in this case study, that the state has the right to temporarily, and the county and the city, and it trickles all the way down, has the right to temporarily mandate health conditions and health requirements that people have to follow in order to stop the spread of a certain pathogen. Now, the issue with this is that generally, if you read back on that case study, it was discussing very significant pathogens, and then that was also brought up again with the Spanish flu. Well, obviously, that was a very serious virus. This is not that. So they're using it, and they're hyping it up as a virus that's so deadly and so horrible and so bad that everybody needs to basically bow down and cower to the all-powerful state. Instead of saying, like I said, I say this every single day, almost every single show. If the state was so concerned and the government was so concerned about your health, why have they not brought up the numerous research studies on vitamin C and the numerous doctors who talked about vitamin C and intravenous vitamin C treatment and patients had it almost instantaneously within a few days knocking out the virus out of their system? Why is that not being brought about? because that doesn't fit the narrative. They have to keep people in a constant state of fear and broke and paranoid all the way to the end of the year until they can get the election over with and then get the vaccine in place and try to force everybody to take this vaccine that is going to be a multi-hundred-billion-dollar boom for the pharmaceutical industry. In most cases, vaccines generate, on average, I think about $51 to $55 billion a year in total sales for big pharma across the board. Well, they're already saying now that it's going to be minimum double that with the amount of money they've already gotten for the research and the clinical studies. And you think about the vaccines that are given all over the country and all over the world, they've never given on a global scale. And now we're talking about billions, billions of these vaccines being produced. Why would they be doing that, Doug? Because they want to make sure everybody gets the vaccine. This is exactly what they're trying to promote. So vitamin C, D3, eat clean, get some sleep, take some cortisol buster if you're stressed out, if you're working hard. That stuff works incredible. I take it every single day. And use your brain when it comes to sanitation guidelines. Keep your business open. Operate under constitutional law. Don't wear a mask if you don't want to wear one. If you do want to wear a mask, do wear one. I don't care. But understand there are side effects of covering your face up and recirculating that all day, and it reduces oxygen. That is not some type of, you know, new idea. This has gone on for decades, actually centuries, on the context of oxygen and physiology. Oxygen deprivation in the body kills you. It makes you brain dead after a while. Mild oxygen deprivation causes you to basically start losing proper cognitive function. Steve, our phone rep, he was talking to me yesterday, and he said he went to the store in Tampa, and they basically were making everybody wear masks. We had a mask on, had it kind of like over his chin. He's the same way. He's like, this is ridiculous. Well, when he was leaving, there was this older lady about 80 years old, and she had a mask on, and he said she was walking around like almost delirious. She's like ran her card into something and then was mumbling all this stuff, and he finally stopped over to her, and he was like, ma'am, do you need any help? He said she kind of like stepped back. She was like, huh, what? And he's like, do you need any help? Are you okay? And he said she just started mumbling incoherently. And he goes, ma'am, you may want to take your mask off. You're outside now. You probably need to get some air. And she goes, oh, if I take my mask off, I'm going to die. And then like ran over to her car and like ran the buggy into something else. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. Like people are really so scared that they're going to catch this stuff if they don't wear a mask. They're willing to compromise their entire brain functioning, their heart health, and their immune system for the simple whim that the media has told them if they wear a mask, it will protect them, when it is a bold-faced lie that says it right on the box of the mask. This is something that has to be out there, Doug, and people have to start making a stand on this, because the more we compromise and the more we capitulate and submit to this, the more they're going to keep pushing the envelope. It's funny how 2 weeks ago you could go in 10,000-person crowds and riot and loot stores and the media clapped for you. Now if you have people in your bar and you serve alcohol, you're a grandma killer and you need to shut down your business immediately. This is the lunacy and the contradictory nature of the mainstream media that lies to us on a daily basis. People have to wake up, do your own research. Don't just believe me. Do your own research. Keep your immune system strong. Microdose on the vitamin C. That's what we've been all doing down here. 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 milligrams numerous times a day keeps your vitamin C blood plasma levels up through the roof and really keeps your immune system strong, Doug.
You know, I just, yes, by the way, let me just say this to those listening. If you can do one thing for yourself, or should do one thing for yourself, and that would be to take high quality nutritional supplements, obviously from healthmasters.com. HR5 is a coupon code. I trust me when I tell you, you're going to feel a lot better, a lot differently. Now having said that, I have to go back to something you said. My question would be, is the line in the sand going to be over wearing masks? I mean, at what point do we push back? Is it over masks? Is that what it is? Not killing unborn children. Is it over masks? I'm asking you. I want to know what your thoughts, because I'm looking down this tunnel and I'm seeing the light of a train. I'm not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but a train coming, and it's coming, but I just don't know where it's coming from. I'm curious. So
it's coming from multiple directions almost, if that even makes sense. That's why this is a multi-tiered approach. They want to do everything they can. That's why they promote the anarchy, the racial divide. Now, see, we're in this predicament, and this is exactly where they wanted us. We're right where they want us to roll. They have us now to where, you know, just 2 months ago, when this was starting to go on, people were starting to wake up. Judy Malkovich's plandemic started getting traction. Didn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, didn't matter. Everybody was saying, what's really going on? This isn't right. You're telling us to wear masks, but they don't work. You're telling us we have to shut down our business, but, you know, dispensaries can be open and Planned Parenthood can be open, but we can't go to church. This isn't making sense. Something's wrong. So what they had to do is they had to make the gap between the American populace come back. They had to push it apart again. So what they did, they dropped the race card in it. So now the people that were unified, whether it be black, white, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter, they were unified. Now a lot of them are divided because of the BLM topic and the terrorist groups like Antifa that are running around now. So now, again, nobody's united again on COVID. Everybody's divided because now it doesn't matter what you believe on that. There's either a racial tension to that or you didn't agree before on something and now you did agree and vice versa. And that's where they wanted everybody. And so what they're trying to do, the masks, as I've said numerous times, are just one early step. It's all about compliance. That's what all the masks are. And in my opinion, there's also the context of your health. It reduces your health. It also prevents you from communicating with one another. Like I already said on the show last week, two people with a mask on, you know, can have very poor conversations at best. And then on top of that, it's compliance. If they can get people to comply with a mask for your health, it's for your safety, guys. Listen, it's for everybody's safety. You have to wear a mask for the greater good. A lot of people go, okay, sure, I'll wear it for the greater good. I'll comply. It's not that big of a deal. I'll just wear it when I go to the store. I'll take it off when I'm out. They comply. Well, what happens when they come in now and they say, hey, everybody just has to get this little jab in the shoulder. It's a COVID vaccine. But listen, guys, it's for everybody's protection. This is for the greater good. If you don't get this vaccine, you're basically a grandma killer. You're spreading the vax virus and, you know, you're doing everybody a disservice in the community. It's for the greater community good. Where you go, oh, God, the mask was annoying. Now you want me to take a shot. Dude, all I want to do is live freely on my way. But all right, well, if you guys are mandating it, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I just want to go back to normal. Let me go back to normal. Just give me the shot and let me do my thing. That's how a lot of people are going to think, Doug. And that's exactly what they're betting on. It's very difficult to mandate a vaccine for 330 million people when 2 months ago people are spreading a plandemic film talking about Judy Malkovich and how Fauci was involved in giving $3.7 million to the Chinese Wuhan facility to figure out how to make a COVID virus spread from animals to humans. No one wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about his involvement in the AIDS and spreading that. Doesn't want to talk about trying to censor everything when about truth coming to COVID. No one wants to talk about that. So how do you keep everybody compliant? You censor the media. You shut down social media posts that are talking about the truth. You tell everybody you wear a mask for your good and everybody else's good. And then you continue to implement the steps further and further and further. That's why it's not going to get better. That's why I say the mask, guys, listen to me. The mask is the easy thing to resist right now. This is the easy part. If you fail at this, it's going to get way harder. So wake up and use your brain. If you want to wear a mask and you're going into a hospital or nursing home and you're going to wear like an N95 or a double can respirator mask, like a true antiviral mask, go for it. I don't think that's that big of a deal. If you're going to walk around, you know there's going to be virus exposure, wear it.
I'm going to wear this. Is that right? I'm
going to wear this. There's my man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that way, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you're right, though.
I'm being serious, Doug. If everybody started doing that, I guarantee you people would go, what the heck? You come in and go, oh, I'm not wearing a face mask. That's ridiculous. I'm actually going to protect myself against the virus because the WHO even said these face masks don't work. I'm putting on double cameras. Purge it. All right, we're good. We're good now. We got masks on. We're all safe now. Everybody's going to go, OK. gosh, that's overkill. Well, if you're trying to protect against a virus, no, that's what you have to essentially do if you're really getting full exposure to it.
That's right. You know, yeah. The masks do not do anything except show submission. That's what I believe.
Yep.
You know,
especially when you recycle the mask. And this is what I like. This is what I see all the time now. People have been posting on social media. They hang their mask from their rear view mirror like it's a badge of honor. Like, I have my mask. Where is yours? And I'm like, when's the last time you changed that mask? Mask in general, even surgical masks and N95 masks, they're good for about 20 to 30 minutes or through surgery, post-surgery, dispose of them. That's all you can wear them for. You can't wear them all day, touch them, grab them, put them down, pick them back up, flip them inside out. And go, oh, well, it's gonna protect me. You know, it's protecting me from everything because I just recycle my mask that hangs on my rearview mirror every day. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in this country, Doug, in my age. And people are walking around begging for it, getting on social media and criticizing people for not wanting to wear masks. It's just a mask, guys. It's just a mask. Calm down. I mean, let's be real. Is it that big of a deal? No, it's for the greater good, and you need to stop being selfish, Austin. I'm like, how about you stop talking to me? You're hurting my brain cells, you idiot. You don't even know what you're talking about. You completely contradict science by your words. You're not even putting out real information about what the mask actually does. Why don't you look on the box that you're wearing the mask out of, and it tells you it does not protect against viruses? Oh, does it really say that? Yes. Read. I know that's a really novel concept in the United States now. Reading. You actually have to read it. You take letters that form words. You read left to right. Golly, crazy concept, isn't it? But people still do that in some cases. They read. Nobody wants to do that anymore. They sit on the phone or they sit in front of the TV. They drink their diet soda. Oh, CNN said wear a mask. Oh, honey, we got to wear a mask. CNN said it. Okay, buy a mask. Okay. They buy a mask. They put it on. They act like good little peasants. I'm not a peasant. Neither are you, Doug.
No.
I'm not going to be a peasant.
No.
I will not comply with this. And as I said before, the mask is the easy part right now. If we keep going with it, it's going to get progressively more aggressive. And eventually, there's only going to be one final option to the resistance. And you already know what that is. And that is my last resort that I ever want to have myself or my children be exposed to in this great country, Doug.
You know, I'm coming to terms with that. I don't see a way out. And people, you know, Austin, I'm not sure what people think, what people are thinking. It blows my mind. I look at what people are posting on forums because I like to keep the temperature. I like to sense what's going on. And you've got the right and the left. You've got, for example, you've got the, on the left, you've got Democratic Underground, the Popular Forum. On the right, you've got Free Republic, Popular Forum. And some of the most insane comments on both sides. More from the left than the right. But you know, this one from the right. Let me just read this to you here because, and this is why I think we're, you know, there's no turning back. Here it is. This is regarding Abbott's decision, you know, Wallace Abbott's decision to shut things down. I just want my parents to be able to survive this. Thus, I don't support the idea that a business has the right to be a public health menace, regardless of whose fault it is.
Public health menace. Menace. You hear the word there? Hear the derogatory statement there, Doug? Menace. You're a menace to society for keeping your business open and feeding your children. You're a menace. This is what they do. They just put out derogatory comments, lambast people, completely dehumanize them. Oh, you're a menace. You're a menace. You're a little menace. You keep your business open and you feed your family and you pay your bills. How dare you do that? I want my parents to stay alive. How about you tell your parents to start using supplements and use sanitation habits? And hey, if you want to stay inside the house, stay inside the house. If you want to have your kids or your friends go get them food, they don't want to go outside, do that. Take care of them. You don't sit there and say the rest of the entire United States country has to shut down or else they're a menace because you want to feel better about yourself and pretend that everything's going to be okay for being completely and totally controlled by a tyrannical authority. Menace. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And the fact that these are decrees as well.
Yeah.
How they're being implemented is troubling indeed. And it's anti-constitutional. None of this is constitutional. But then since when do we have a flipping constitution? Again, I hate to end the week on a very bad note, but I mean, look, the string, I did the first hour on the string pullers and, spoke about the council, the committee of 300 and the, Club of Rome. And the umbrella organizations that they are and such, and the Tavistock Institute. You know, you look at the Tavistock Institute, the subgroups of that, and that's where all of this sheeple training is coming from, yep. In a larger sense. And I hope people understand that. So you're right. I don't know. I don't see this, I don't see this coming to a good end. There was somebody very close to me yesterday didn't wear a mask to a grocery store. Oh, the horror. Oh, the horror. Now, somebody came up to her and said, you're going to kill us all. And I swear that this is the truth. You're going to kill us all. Why? By not wearing a mask. I mean, how do you... I don't know. How do you fight stupid? I'll tell you how you fight stupid. You keep yourself going through healthmasters.com. You can give the link to Ted and Austin Brewer's show to everyone you know. I'm telling you, listen to the... If you don't listen to me, and if you don't want to listen to me, listen to Ted and Austin Brewer. They got a better show than mine. Ted and Austin Brewer, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Again, if I have to explain this to people who, you know... San Francisco or Hattiesburg, Mississippi, I will. But, I'm kidding. Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. and Sunday, 7 to 8. They've got the one of the best shows, if not the best show in the media. But their products, healthmasters.com, their products. Folks, if you do nothing else, Ultimate Multiple Powder and Capsule. Eric the Tech was telling me about how much his dad likes the powder. In fact, he said that on the air last week, too, I think. Does he still like it, Eric the Tech, the powder?
Of course.
There it is. All right. You got the stamp of approval from Eric the Tech's father and family, actually. Good people. So, healthmasters.com, HR5, coupon code. We've got about 7 minutes left. Anything else? I mean, what do we do? I'm ready. You know what? Where's my speed loader? I'm telling you. One thing I want to ask you about. Dave Hodges. You mentioned Dave Hodges earlier. I got to tell you, we are seeing in the alternative media, we're seeing some things happen. Threats. I know that you're experiencing electronic stuff, but I'm talking about threats, some surveillance, some warnings. Hey, we're going to shut you down. And if you don't shut up, we're going to make sure you're shut up. Have you been experiencing any of that? Or, I know you do all the time.
We have the contact form on the website where people can email us. I monitor a lot of them. I also have some staff monitor them, a lot of which we delete. We just completely delete them as soon as we get some of the emails in. You can generally tell by the first sentence of the email what's going on, and you just automatically delete it. What's funny, a lot of these people think you're going to read it and you're going to like respond back to them, and they're saying all this stuff, and they put all these comments in, and they put question marks. And, you know, you're like, as soon as you scan through, you're like, all right, delete. I've had some weird ones. I've had some threat ones. I've had some very aggressive, violent ones. And to the most part, like I said, I just delete them. I just ignore them. My whole thing is this, and I learned this because I grew up in Auburndale. I grew up fighting my whole life. If you got a problem, just square it with me when you see me. Don't talk big on the computer. Anybody can punch keypad letters and sound cool online. If you really got an issue, say it to somebody's face. Don't be that guy. If you want to be that guy, expect to have absolutely zero respect given to you whenever you're met in person. And I mean that sincerely. I've dealt with people before that are big keyboard warriors on computers, and they talk hard and they want to rant and rave about how badass they are, excuse my language, and how, you know, they're this and they're that when they see you, and you see them in person, you're like, all right, man, pull your shirt off. Let's go. And it's like, yeah, oh, man, exactly. I was playing.
You know, yeah. Yeah, that's BS. I mean, but I think I guess what I meant to say was I'm seeing a little bit more of a severe disturbance in the force, if you will. I'm seeing I'm seeing the left, especially the left, coming out and saying, you know, you're a danger to. It's kind of like not wearing a mask to a leftist wedding or something. You know, I don't know, but.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this ramp up against the alternative media people who have any degree of influence. And that's why I
asked. Oh, yeah. It's going to get back. I've heard about a lot of it. There's a few people. I won't name any names, but people sent me some stuff that's going on and not to disclose all of it. Yes, it's definitely escalating. And, you know, the thing about it is, though, even as weird and as crazy as everything's getting, you know, this is also an aspect, Doug. It's kind of an exciting time we live in. I mean, we get to be one of actually the first patriot force in the, you know, the 2000s to actually defend our Constitution. It's been a very long time since this has occurred. And it's going to escalate to that. You know, it's going to escalate to that. I know it's going to escalate to that. And so, I mean, we almost have to reframe it and look at it from a state of positivity. Like, this is where we are. We got called for this generation. We know God Almighty and Jesus are with us. So we have the calling to do everything that we can in our power to preserve a constitutional republic. And it's escalating to that point. You know, we've let everything kind of go. We've been watching it. We've been monitoring it. There's numerous groups I'm in contact with that are 100% constitutional patriots. We have absolutely zero interest in any type of offensive or doing anything wrong or illicit or illegal. But when it comes to defense of our city, of our town, of our county, it will be met. And there will be nothing left. As far as if somebody tries to come at us, we will take it all the way to the bottom if we have to. And so that kind of gives us an exciting time, even though it may get very horrific and horribly graphic. And you've got to kind of reframe it and say, we're here. It's happening. We can either accept it and go with it and push forward and see what happens, or we can sit back in the closet and cower in fear and urinate on ourselves and pretend that everything's just going to go away if we close our eyes. That was never my idea, nor is that my, you know, my personality. So to me, the groups that are here, we're called to such a time as this to stand up for our rights and protect the ones that we support and that support us. That's where we're at in America. That's what we do at Health Masters, and we're going to keep doing so as long as we physically can. That's a promise to you and all of our listeners, man.
And that, folks, is spoken like a true patriot, I believe. And you're exactly right. You know, we are called for a time like this, and we must rise to this occasion. I don't want to leave this mess to my children and my grandchildren.
No.
You know, I want to take care of business. And it's not that I want to engage in conflict. I just want to fix this by however, you know, we need to fix it. I want this fixed. I want to get back to a constitutional republic. I want to live life in peace. But you know what? We've got that, you know, you've got that depopulation agenda. You've got that, agenda 2030. You've got that whole thing you talk all the time about. And that's where we're at. Healthmasters.com. We're at the end of the program. Healthmasters.com. 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 Did you get that yet, folks? Healthmasters.com. Do me a favor. People listening and watching this right now, go to healthmasters.com. Open up a new tab. Go to healthmasters.com and start shopping, especially, like I said, the ultimate multiple, but vitamin C. Oh, and the vitamin B will be a kicker for you. I'm telling you, vitamin B, their vitamin B, the methylated vitamin B, is absolutely fantastic, as well as vitamin C. Austin, thank you, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, bud. Pleasure to be on the show as always. Have a safe weekend.
All right, you too. Again, a true patriot, and support Health Masters by ordering their products, and that indirectly supports us as well, the Hagman Report. I want to thank each and every one of you for your gracious gift of time today. Look, I hope I did okay in the first hour. Let me know in the comments section of YouTube or studio@HagmanReport.com. If you want more of that, I've got some ideas, but a lot of research. I've got tons and tons of research. Folks, thank you so very much. Keep your eye on HagmanReportLive.com and HagmanReport.com this weekend. And to my Patreons, thank you. My PayPal supporters, thank you. And those people who send letters, thank you. And Ricky, thanks for dinner. Tell your husband he's a lucky guy, good cook. God bless. Good night.